The title of our lesson is Hanging On for Your Life. The devotional background study comes from Acts chapter 27, verses 1 through 38. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adrianum, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed into Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia unto Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lysias. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed into Crete, over against Salome, and hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lies toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out our own hands the tackling, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to come to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some heart, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And with the mistakes in the reading of the names there, that was the devotional background study for today. Would there be any announcements before go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
We welcome everybody here, especially our visitor that we have with us today. We hope everyone is having a good day today. Our lesson today is entitled Hanging On For Your Life, and I don't know if you've studied this lesson. I don't know that I'm going to stay on his subject or not. Maybe I will. We'll just kind of see how this goes. To give a little better understanding of what Terry just read, his background of where Paul is at this time, because this story concerns his travels that he made on the way to Rome to plead his case before Caesar. Because of Paul's teachings, the Jews had taken him prisoner, and they were so incensed at Paul and what he did they wanted to kill him. And to keep that from happening, a Roman soldier took him, his own prisoner, and carried him out of amongst the Jews and carried him to the Roman barracks. And there they were going to torture Paul to see just exactly what it was that these people had against him and to see if what they had said was true about Paul. And Paul informed the Roman soldiers that he, because of where he was born, because of his birth, he was a Roman citizen. And when they found that out, he said he was a Roman citizen and had not been tried yet. I'm paraphrasing all this, and I'm kind of trying to cut it short. He was a Roman citizen and had not been tried to find whether he was guilty or not. When they found out he was a Roman citizen, they immediately became afraid, because a Roman citizen carried a lot of weight at this time, because the Roman government was in charge of all the land. And so they just kept Paul as a prisoner, and they took him to a couple of, over the period of time, they took him to a couple of governors, and he was able to give his testimony about Jesus and his being saved on the road to Damascus. And it came to time that the Jews plotted to break in and get Paul and slay him, and they sent 40 men out to do this. And Paul's nephew heard about this plot, and he went and told the Romans that the Jews meant to kill him. And Felix, the Roman procurator, sent a whole army down to fetch Paul and bring him out of Caesarea. Now, I just jotted this down. He sent 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen. They left at 9 o'clock at night to get Paul. That's how they felt about Paul. Rights as a Roman citizen. So then, to make the story even shorter, they put him on a boat eventually, and the what Terry read was about the trip that the boat, the ship took of getting Paul headed towards Rome. Now, the Bible says that there were 276 men on this ship. So this ship was a pretty good-sized boat crossing the seas. It ran into a storm. A huge storm came up. And that is where we begin our lesson today, is about this storm that came up while Paul was on this up on this ship, being taken to Rome. And it says that the men were so afraid that the ship was going to break apart. And Paul had told them to fear not, that the Lord had stood by his side and had told him that all who were on the ship were going to be okay. And they were all going to live. And Paul informed the crew that this was to be. Now, where my thoughts are going is toward the subject of faith. And faith is what Paul had. He had plenty of it. And I'm afraid today that my faith is not even comparable to what I find that Paul had. I find that I waver a lot of times. And in wavering, I don't think God is pleased with that action. But I don't know of a time that I have read in the scriptures where Paul ever wavered from his faith that he had in God. And when God told him that he was going to be all right and all that were on the ship was going to be all right, Paul believed it. I believe he believed it with all his heart. And in informing these people, he made sure that they understood where his information was coming from and that his faith was strong in his Lord. Now, these people didn't believe like Paul did. I'm not saying they were all sinners, but for the most part, those that were on the ship and those that, who commanded the ship probably didn't believe like Paul did. But listen, Paul had an influence on these people. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit as we get into our lesson, is the influence that Paul had and the influence that we as God's children can have just because of our faith on people that are not of this same belief. People who, there's people out there that believe in all kind of things, all kind of different things. But we who are God's people, we believe in a true God. And if we let our faith shine through in that belief, I believe that other people can see that there's something that about what we have. And I think that's what Paul put out there. He put out his faith, and they all felt comfort in that, I think. Now, I'm not saying they all believed him, you know, 100%, but I believe they're okay to follow what Paul was telling them. He said you had to be on the ship. You had to be on the ship to be saved, because there were some men that had tried to get away. But Paul said, you got to be here. In other words, you got to be here with me on the ship. Now, let's go to our lesson. In 27th chapter of Acts, 39th verse. Now the storm is raging, and it's raining, and it's cloudy and foggy or whatever, and they can't see. They don't know where they are. And they have put out sea anchors. Now the ship, they have dropped the sails, and they have put out sea anchors to hold the ship in place, or to kind of help steady the ship. Now, if a sailing ship is under full sail in a storm will just rip the sails apart. So they had put the sails down, and they put out sea anchors to steady the ship and keep it from tossing here and there about. And when it was day, they knew not the land. In other words, when it got daylight, they could see that there was some land. But they didn't know where they were, and they didn't recognize where they were. But they discovered a certain creek or inlet or bay area with a shore. In other words, an inlet with a beach. They saw this. And it says, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. So they thought, if it's possible that we can get that ship into this inlet, onto this beach, we possibly can save the ship. Now, and when they had taken up the anchors, now that was the sea anchors I was talking about. When they had taken up the anchors, and they probably didn't take them up. They probably just cut them off, just cut them loose. That'd be the easiest thing to do, just cut them loose and let the ship go. They committed themselves unto the sea. In other words, when they cut the sea anchors, they committed that boat to the sea. It was just going to do whatever the sea was going to do with it. And loosed the rudder bands. Now, the rudder bands, there was a rudder at the back of the ship, and it has a rope that comes over. The rudder sticks out like this, and it moves. That's how you steer the ship. It moves over. It ties on this side, and it ties on the other side and holds the ship straight, keeps it from going this like this. So they loosed the rudder bands, and they let the sea have the ship, and it was going on its own. And hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart, or the bow of the ship, stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part, or the stern, or the rear, was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. To land, just like Paul had said. They all made it to this land. Now, why did they make it to land? And they were all safe. This is the worst storm they'd ever seen. It tore the ship apart. Even in the inlet, it tore the ship apart. But they all made it to land. Why? Because of the faith that Paul had, that that's the way it was going to be. Now, you see, that had an effect on people. How did it have an effect on people? It meant that 200 plus people were saved because of Paul's faith. They were allowed to live just like Paul had said. Now, so I think that this is an example of how faith in God, or our own faith that we have in God, can influence people around us. We have a great influence that we can present to the world because of our belief in God. Now, I know that there are a lot of people that believe in God. They know that Jesus Christ is His Son, and they'll talk to you about it. But have they ever met Him? Do they truly know Him? Do they understand what He is all about? Do they understand being saved? Do they understand the spiritual side of God? And the spiritual side of God, I'm afraid, is where people miss out because they don't understand that side. But listen, us as God's people, we know that spiritual side. We're there now. We're on that spiritual side, and we understand it. And because of our faith, we're able to influence people like no one else can. No one else can. Now, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I think this was Paul who wrote this, but there's some contention about that, but I think it was Paul. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the first verse, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Now that means it's the realization that we know of things hoped for. Now, things hoped for, that would be things hoped for in the future. Our faith is tied to the future of this world. And I have a hope and I have faith that one day there's going to be a resurrection. Now, I've not ever experienced a resurrection. I've not ever seen anybody being resurrected. But I believe with all my heart that someday there's going to be a resurrection. And I do that by faith I have in God this morning. I believe it. Just like Paul believed when the Lord told him that everything was going to be all right, Paul never wavered. He believed that. He believed it with all his heart. Well, I believe with all my heart that there's going to be a resurrection. I haven't seen it. It's out there in the future. But I believe it's going to come. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. That's current events. That's current events. That's now. That would be like forgiveness of sin. You can't see it. There's nothing to see. It's God's forgiveness of our sins. It's God's salvation of our soul. We can't see it, but I know it happened. And I also have faith that in God that He will forgive me of my sins that I commit today. Because I'm going to commit sins today. So by faith, I believe that God will forgive me if I would just humble myself to Him. And come into His merciful grace. And let Him wrap His protective arms around me. And just give me that hope. That I know one day that I'll see Him. And be there like we talked in Sunday school this morning. Be there with the people who've gone on before. I've got faith that one day I'm going to see them. Now, you know, in Paul's day, there were Sadducees and Pharisees. Paul was a Pharisee, but the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. Listen, I'm on the Pharisee side on this. Now, they might not have believed in salvation, spiritual salvation, but I'm on the Pharisee side. I believe there's going to be a resurrection. I've got faith that one of these days, I'm going to be with it. And the people who have done so much for God's cause and are there now begging Him to send His angels to carry us home. One of these days I'm going to be a part of that. David said in the 40th division of Psalms, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. That's what I did. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And part of my goings is the faith that I have. That's part of my persona, I guess you might say. Now, I don't show that all the time. I understand that. I have failed God on many levels, and I will fail Him again on many levels. But I pray that He will look down upon me. And every once in a while, find just a little faith. And think that I've done a little something for His cause. And that I might have influenced someone. I don't know. I don't know of anybody that I've influenced. But I hope that I have somewhere or another influenced somebody. Rather for the good than for the bad. I just pray that that's the case. Said He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful that somebody might see that there's something that we profess? Those people on that ship, I think they saw something that Paul had that they didn't have. And I don't know whether any of them ever got saved or not, but they were all saved physically at that time. But you know, Paul had a way about him. I believe he had a way about him. I believe when you came into Paul's presence, you could feel something. Paul said he fought a good fight. I don't know that I can say that. I'm not sure that I can say what Paul said, that he fought a good fight, he'd kept the faith. I'm not sure that I could stand before God and utter those words. But I do believe Paul could, because I believe he was right. And these people might have seen something in Paul. And some of them may have gotten saved. Who knows? Only God knows that. But he said, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And that's where we need to be at today. We need to be in a place that people can see that there's something in us and that they want to be a part of it. They'll come into this church and they'll feel the Spirit and they'll see the actions of the people. And we as God's people should be about God's business this morning and doing the things that God would have us to do, that He might be pleased with our actions, that He might be pleased with His church, and that He would never be ashamed of something that we as God's people have ever done in His name. So we have a great example here of Paul showing his faith. It should give us the strength and the courage to show our faith, to let people see what we have, to tell them about God, to cast this fear in them. Let God take hold, let Him take control, and let Him draw them. We can't make people see God. But you know, God can take our message, He can take our actions, He can take our deeds and our life, and He can put it before people as an example, that they might trouble their heart, that He might come up on the scene and draw them to the foot of His cross, that they might seek after His salvation, that somewhere down the road that somebody might be saved. Not that we can save them, but we should set an example out there that people would have a desire to join us. Terry and I were working on putting up the mailbox yesterday here, and there was a guy came over, and we went over. Well, Brenda sent us over to talk to this guy, and we told him about coming to church today. Now, whether he ever comes or not, I don't have any idea. Now that's in God's hand, and I'm not going to say I did this. She's the one that told me to get over there and talk to the guy and ask him to come to church, and so I'll give her credit for that. All right, let's give God. Okay. All right, we'll give God that credit.
I don't want any credit.
And so, I don't know if he'll ever come back. He was a friendly sort of guy. He was out walking his kids. And I would love to see him come in this church. But at least he got a little, Terry and I were kind of talking with him. At least he got a little feel for or maybe how we are. I don't know. But I thought after that was over with, that what would have happened if we had failed to do that? I mean, what would we look like if we failed to do our little part? You know, I've told you before, I'm not good at talking to people. You know, Jimmy, he can just talk to anybody, and that's great. I really admire that. And I'll tell you right off, that. I am not like that. So it's really difficult for me. But you know, I need to find a way to make it easier for me. And God can do that. God can do that. But then again, I think Jimmy's just better at it than I am. And I encourage Jimmy and Billy too. They meet people and talk to people, you know. Just keep on, keep on. Because what little we do for God, we'll never know how much it affects somebody. And if we could just get somebody else thinking about God, look what might be accomplished. It's not necessarily for us to need to know. Now, you know, these people that Paul said, you'll all be saved. You'll be just fine. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm just talking about physically saved. You'll live through this storm. Who knows how many of those people? It doesn't say in the scriptures how many people were saved or if anybody was saved. Who knows? God only knows. But there could have been some. So every chance, every opportunity we have, we need to strive and talk to people. Amen. Let them know where we're coming from. And, you know, I've said this before just a few weeks ago where Paul says, after done all to stand, I always think of this. And I've told you this before. If you can't say nothing else, give them a testimony. Just give them a testimony. There's nothing they can say against your testimony. Not a thing. Because it occurred between you and God, and nobody can take that from you.
Amen.
Not a person on this earth can ever take that from you. They can laugh, they can scoff, but they cannot take it away from you.
Amen.
And they weren't there. It was just you and God. Now, when I was saved as a little boy, the church was filled with people. And I was back there and there's people bowed everywhere. But when I saved, it wasn't those people. It was just me and God.
Right.
That's all it was. There was nobody else in that church. It was just me. Me and God. And that was enough. It was enough that 61 years ago, I still got it. And it's as good today as it was then. And it'll be even better tomorrow. That's my lesson. Anyone have anything to say?
Brother Dean Patterson wrote a song tonight, Jesus Saved Us All. And talking to him about it, he said there were probably 200 people in the church house when he got saved on the floor at the Long Creek Missionary Baptist Church. And he said, well, when I got saved, I was all alone with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's the way it is. That's why Jesus said, you give your closet, you shut out the rest of the world.
Right.
And when you get down to that point of total surrender, it's not about not you and what you've done, what you've not done. It's just about you and God. And put yourself in his hands and say, Lord, here I am. He could have said. Sister Ruth's testimony that I read for the funeral, she had written for the church here, and talking about just there. And she said, the old past thing that she could remember after 5 years of seeing the Lord, she said, I just can't do it. I'm saved. You know, because she had been looking for somebody that she could do it. And then when she got to that point, and also be saved or something.
Yeah.
And that's why we've got to get alone with the Lord. And then even after that, every time we really pray, we're alone with the Lord. Because the people that's around us is okay for them to hear our prayer. And while we pray out loud, might help somebody somewhere along the way. But we can't be thinking about what somebody else is listening to. It's just us talking to God.
That's right.
And however, if it's in total silence but from the depths of our heart, or if it's a boisterous voice that's going out, it doesn't matter as long as it's between us and God.
That's right.
And then if it's in the silence of just us talking to God, the Spirit's going to take that to somebody else and have an effect on them. Or if it's through our open prayer, they can have an effect by hearing what we're saying to God. But it's us and God. And Lord willing, to get around to it. And I'll be talking a little bit about that in sermon. Now, I don't know if God's going to let me get that It's good vision.
Amen. And it's good to see everybody here.
I don't know if it's in this lesson, because, you know, but Caesar's wife and kids got saved because Paul came to Rome.
Yeah.
That's in the scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says Caesar's household was
yeah.
his wife and kids,
right.
servants, whoever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Then he rented a house for 2 years. Who paid the rent on that house? He couldn't work. See, that's part of our work, too.
Right.
Sending missionaries out, you know, whatever. And a couple from England got saved in that house, the way I understand it.
Yeah.
And we got the gospel directly from England. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. That's right. Anyone else?
Yeah. Paul told these people here what was going to happen to them, and they went ahead. Went on the journey anyway.
Yeah.
Beware the
deceit. Mm-hmm.
The Lord told Paul everything would be okay. What if he told him the opposite? I've had that happen. 1977. I wanted my wife either to be saved or till she had been saved. And I can take you within 50 yards where the Lord told me she will die. 2 years later, she was in the ground. But I heard her testimony 2 hours before she went in the coma. So see, he answered my prayer.
He told me she would die. He did.
And she did. But I heard it right before she died. 5:30 on Friday, she died at 3:30 Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a merciful God.
Yeah, that's a poem. That's a poem right there.
Anyone else?
Brother Bert, you talked about the interior man out there yesterday. I've always felt this way. A smile and a hello to somebody. If that's all y'all even said yesterday. If he hadn't done anything, then man, that trip that little girl went to the church paper was sure worse than it even there. You know?
That's right.
They'll remember stopping and talking to you. And I wish I was bolder than I am. Many of you know I still go by and have breakfast with my mom. I noticed within the last year, when I leave the house, she says, son, be a blessing to somebody today. Mm-hmm. Be a blessing to somebody today.
We need that as a plaque on our wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Etched in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, Jenny. We need to be a blessing to somebody.
And I heard testimony. She doubted it for 26 years. And W.T. Russell, the pastor of Melville, when she was 13, Saturday morning service, I believe Dennis Glover was singing I'll Fly Away when she came back to herself. Now that's how detailed she could remember it.
26 years later.
26 years. Right. And it cost her life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, they probably never thought saying I fly away would help anybody, but it did.
That's right. You don't ever know if I'll
never know.
Exactly
right. Right.
You don't ever know. Don't ever know. Anyone else?
Brother Bert, Malcolm Carter told me several years ago that nobody ever came to their house without their mother talking to them about the Lord. I thought that was a good thing to leave behind.
That is.
And I remember another fellow. I got a lot to say. I remember a fellow stopping in front of our house. I just looked out 7 and invited and talked to Dad out in the yard. Got back in his car and go walk down the road. He's So we got the supper table, and I said, what did that fellow want? He said, he invited the whole 1950, I don't know what you got, 4950. And then 1950, we went to Old Hopewell. Mother drove herself in a farm truck that Daddy didn't have a car. And I was laying up again trying to go to sleep. She jumped up, threw me out of the wall, she got saved. But she had to drive herself to church, but Daddy had to work, you know. 2 years later, guess who got saved? Well, that brother stopped and invited Daddy.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, Brenda's got a testimony almost like that. That some preacher stopped and talked to her parents, mm-hmm. or your mama, I guess. And because of that, they started over at this little mission in West Nashville, and mm-hmm. she got saved.
All three kids got saved.
Yeah. I mean, there's just stories galore of the mercies of God. Mm-hmm. If we'll just do what He we just keep on doing what He has to. Anyone else?
Just real quick, you know, people see us and they notice us. About 2 weeks ago, after Potter or Wienski, I was coming over here, he cleaned up and I had to go somewhere else to visit somebody. And so I still had on my jeans and his shirt and I clayed on me and I stopped at Old World, Bessler's Lane, had a little convenience store, get a drink and a little snack. And went in there, just going up the counter, saw a little black girl there, and I think she probably late teens or maybe early 20s or something, in that range. All I did, I just walked up and I said something to Liz, I just, you know, had a little hour here, you know, 3 days or something, whatever it was. And first thing she said to me, she said, are you a preacher?
Yeah.
And I sure did look like one. And I said, yes, I am. She said, it sounds like it in your voice. And so, I mean, you don't know what connections people are going to make with you.
No, you don't. But you can tell one thing. She's been around a preacher before.
Well, she said her dad was a preacher.
Oh, okay.
The company dad worked for sent him a Franklin one time to run the door before he got somebody to run for him. This woman come in, heard dad about talking. She said, you're a preacher, aren't you? Because he had an overall, you know, and he said, how'd you know that? She said, because you hadn't cussed since I've been in here. So that's what you're saying, you leave Dale.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. All right, anyone else? Jimmy, would you dismiss us, please?
Father, we thank you this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the lessons you want to drop to us. Thank you, God, for your spirit most of all. Thank you, go with us into the worship service. It doesn't matter. You lead us, guide us. Everything that lives in you, Jesus, in your prayer.
Amen.
I'm just here.
Yeah.